These are alternatives. Well, I didn't see which one. No, this is alternatives. I need to look at them. Oh, let's just pull it back.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you helping me consider that.
The Senate will please come to order. Roll call.
Roll call for Thursday, January 29th. Anderson District 2.
Here.
Anderson District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout. Burns,
here.
Case, Christensen,
here.
Coe,
here.
Cooper,
here.
Kraft,
here.
Dockstetter,
here.
Driscoll,
here.
Emmerich,
here.
Escobel,
here.
Geis,
here.
Hastert,
here.
Hicks,
here.
Johnson,
here.
Kinski,
here.
Landon,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Pappas, Perkins, excused. Peterson,
here.
Ross,
here.
Rothfuss,
here.
Scott,
here.
Von Platern,
here.
Wasserberger,
here.
President Nicholas,
here.
29 present, 1 excused.
Apparently, when we gave the prayer yesterday, the microphone wasn't on, so I gave. And Reverend Gilbert said it was the best, most inspirational prayer that he'd given all year. So the choice is he can either repeat yesterday, or those of you that didn't hear it will take you off and he'll give it to you separately. So I think that's about twice I've done it. So if the pastor or the reverend begins the prayer and you don't hear the mic, just let me know so I can make sure we get that on. I apologize for that. So the prayer is by Reverend Gilbert. If you'd all stand, please.
We're live. God of many names and God of numerous understandings, we pause for prayer. For some of us, you may be the supreme architect of the universe. For some of us, you may be the personal Savior, Jesus Christ. For some of us, we may question your existence. Whatever our understanding, we commence our day in the presence of the Holy, so we may conclude our day honorably. While we seek to do our best in thought, our minds are always open, inviting your divine wisdom. While we choose our words carefully and seek to speak concisely, we welcome your aid in clear communication. While we treat one another with respect and uphold the dignity of all, we await your abiding presence to create and maintain harmony. We pause to pray because deep down within, we feel or we believe there's a direct connect between the human and the holy. We invite your comfort and guidance for the family of Liz Bird, and all those who mourn the loss of loved ones. Be pleased to hear our prayer as we remain open to your presence and power. Amen.
Amen. Please join me with the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Same thing we do every day. Folks, with respect to the schedule today, and this is really directed to the chairman, we've got bills sort of backlog in committees. I know that a lot of the committees have been focusing on some of the larger bills that have been taking time. But if the chairman would confer this morning early as you can with the majority floor leader and give consideration to maybe coming in at 2 and then recessing, going out, hearing bills, and maybe bringing some bills back on the floor, but that assumes that the staff can get amendments back. But I think the majority floor leader is trying to plan his the schedule for today and trying to get some bills out. So if the chairman would at least confer with the majority floor leader and see whether there are bills that could be reported out early. And we also, of course, have messages from committees this morning, which may generate some more bills. We're at that order of business for the reading, the approval, and the correction, if any, of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of January the 28th, 2015, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jeff Wasserberger, chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. On the new business of the day, we've got our nurse of the day is Dr. Beringer. Thank you for being here again. We sure appreciate you. Give her a welcome hand. Today in Wyoming history, actually I read this, the first time I read it says in 1964 the city of Sheridan was designated a historical landmark. It actually was the Sheridan Inn, though. The Sheridan Inn was designated a historical. All right, folks, today is the 13th day of the proposed 37-day session. Senate files 2 through 146 and Senate joint resolutions 1 through 7 were approved for introduction by the sponsors and assigned, submitted, except to the LSO, as well as jacketed. They've all been, those bills up to 146, and then joint resolutions 1 through 7 are now in the process of being worked through. Any announcements? Jeff, or I guess your name is Senator Watson.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. I believe that's the North Gallery, I would like to have Mrs. Brenda Creel please rise and be recognized by the Senate. Brenda is the principal at Alta Vista Elementary, and she has spent I don't know how many decades devoted to the children of Cheyenne as an outstanding teacher and principal. She was at Jessup for many years, and she had all the Enzi grandchildren at her school. Yes, and the Ross family went there also, which is just off the interstate across from Central High School. But Brenda is the 2015 National Distinguished Principal of the Year for the state of Wyoming. So let's welcome her to the Senate. Congratulations, Brenda.
Are we going to talk about your report cards now? Needs attention? Lacks attention? Senator Ross. Oh, you want the mic.
Mr. Chairman, publicly wish to announce that I lost a bet with Ms. Creel in my endeavor to lose weight, and she's done so much better on that front than I have. So I just publicly wish to announce that I do owe her a dinner, and
a large one.
And as you can see, but I'll just be having a salad.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader,
Thank you, Mr. President. Privilege of the floor.
You may have it.
I think point of order. I thought I had a bet with you as well. And I think I probably would win.
Senator Driscoll.
Privilege of the floor.
You may have it.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, I'd like to introduce Linda Fritz, Crook County Clerk.
Welcome. I think we're at that order of business. Messages from the House.
January 28, 2015, from the House of Representatives. Message number 162, Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report, failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill number 84, Conservation District Levy. Ayes 26, noes 33, excused 1. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
January the 28th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 50, Tribal Liaisons, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Hastert, Ross, Wasserberger, no, Senator Perkins, Senator Ross, Chairman. January the 29th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 105, Game and Fish Roundup Programs, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Barnard, Cooper, Kraft, and Johnson. No, Senator Anderson, 28, Senator Cooper, Chairman. January the 29th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Election and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 41, Employee Online Privacy, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Meyer, and Pappas, excuse, Senator Hicks and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. January the 29th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 99, Wyoming Pharmacy Act Amendments, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Meyer, and Pappas, excuse, Senators Hicks and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. January the 28th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 111, Summary Probate Proceedings, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, Kinsey, Von Fladen, Senator Christensen, Chairman. January the 28th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 93, County Road Fund Pavement Management, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Emmerich, Escobel, Johnson, and Meyer, Senator Meyer, Chairman.
Senator Cole.
Yesterday we read in Senate File 110. It does have an appropriations. I would request that it be re-referred to Committee Number 2.
Without objection, Senate File 110 is re-referred to Appropriations. So, and I... I think the majority floor leader is conferring with the clerk, but I think you have a potential of six bills there. But that order of business, bills on second reading. Senate file 35, having been read two separate times.
I got to read it.
Oh, Senate File 35, second reading amendment. Bill.
Senate File 35, security breach notification.
There are no amendments, no discussion. Senate File 35, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 36, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 36, Personal Identifying Information Definitions.
No amendments, no discussion. Senate File 36, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 56, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 56, Study on Transfer of Public Lands.
No amendments, no discussion. Senate File 56, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 73, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 73, Forcible Entry and Detainer Amendments.
No amendments, no discussion. Senate File 73, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 75, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 75, Child Support Enforcement Amendments.
No amendments, no discussion. Senate File 75, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 77, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 77, Ignition Interlock License Amendments.
Senate File 77, no objections. No discussion. The having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 80, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 80, Trespassing to Collect Data, Civil Cause of Action.
Senate File 80, we do have some amendments. If the reading clerk would please read in the first reading, second reading amendment number one.
Senate File 80, second reading amendment number 1, page 3, line 2.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, recalling the discussion yesterday in Committee of the Whole, where this bill could conceivably result in somebody who would trespass, got some data, and turn somebody in for a violation, being stuck with the cost of cleaning that violation up. We thought that was a perverse outcome. What this does is remove the words that make that possible, and just the mechanics of it. Took out a previous amendment, deleted the same things the previous amendment deleted, and then deleted the additional words on page 3, line 3, increased business expenses. Those are the words that could result in that particular perverse outcome. I think the amendment improves the bill. I urge the Senate to adopt it.
Further discussion on this amendment? There being none, the question is on second reading amendment number 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has been adopted. We're now on to the second reading amendment, if the number 2, if the clerk could please read it in.
Senate File 80, second reading amendment number 2, page 2, line 22.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I'd like to remove second reading amendment to Senate File 80. Members of the body, I told you that I would go out and work with some of the legal profession. I worked with our excellent LSO staff last night, also consulted with several people that practice in this arena of the legal profession and have come up with this language. What it does is it strikes the amendment that you just adopted. But if you will bear with me, work with the co-sponsor of that previous amendment. But it will go to page 2, line 22, and after all, insert the words consequential and economic. So what that does is just said for all consequential and economic damage proximately caused by the trespass. This amendment then has a period. That's the end of the line. Strikes the balance of line 23. Strikes everything on line 1, 2, and 3. And then data collection on line 4. So rather than trying to enumerate every potential out there based on advisement from the legal profession, it was said it's pretty routine that everybody that exercises in that form of law knows what economic damages are. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd ask for your favorable adoption of the second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 80. And I'd stand for any questions.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, on 4 of the amendment, it does pose a choice to the Senate. We can do a more thorough change of the bill, or you can leave it the way it stands now with the amendment you just adopted. If you leave it the way it is, you'd still have cited it explicitly, including but not limited to loss of income from delay in business operations. That would come out, and you'd have a much broader definition that would be pretty well understood, but it might lead to a broader ability to sue in these circumstances. It's a matter of judgment. I think that with this amendment, the bill is probably in better form to accomplish its objectives.
Further discussion on the amendment? There being none, the question having been called is on second reading amendment number 2. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment's been adopted. Any further discussion on the bill? There being none, Senate File 80 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 91, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 91, Charter School Eligibility Bonus Payments.
There are no amendments. There have been no discussions. Senate File 91, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 119, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 119, Hospice Respite Care.
There are no amendments, no discussion. Senate File 119, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. We're now at that order of business, 3rd reading. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, we do have a consent list. I move 3rd reading consent list, which is follows. Senate File 45, Digital Information Privacy Task Force Reappropriation. Senate File 47, City Engineer's Duty to Estimate Project Cost. Senate File 57, School Facilities Appropriations. Senate File 78, Education Dual Language Immersion Programs. Senate File 90, Medicaid Chiropractic Services 2. Senate File 92, Workers' Compensation, County Elected Officials. Senate File 97, Department of Transportation and Communication Facilities. Senate File 98, School Athletic Safety. And Senate File 103, Bicycle Pathway and Highway Separation.
Are there any requests of any members to remove any bills from the consent list? Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would request that Senate File 98 be removed, please.
Senate File 98 is removed from the consent list. Did you want to have that considered today or have it laid back?
Mr. President, since you brought that up, I would like to suggest that we lay this bill back for a day. At your pleasure, we've got an opportunity, I think, to work on that language. I've had several visits with several of the senators, and I think if we can work on this for another day, hopefully we can get it right. Thanks, Mr. President.
The request has been made to lay it back another day without objection. As Senate File 98 is removed from the consent list and laid back one day for third reading. Any other requests? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 45, Digital Information Privacy Task Force Reappropriation. File 47, City Engineer's Duty to Estimate Project Costs. Senate File 57, School Facilities Appropriations. Senate File 78, Education Dual Language Immersion Programs. Senate File 90, Medicaid Chiropractor Services 2. Senate File 92, Workers' Compensation County Elected Officials. Senate File 97, Department of Transportation and Communication Facilities. And Senate File 103, Bicycle Pathway and Highway Separation. The Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
On the consent list, Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kinski.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Pappas.
Aye.
Perkins excused. Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Fladern.
Aye.
Wasserberger.
Aye.
President Nicholas.
Aye.
On the consent list, 29 aye, 1 excused. Senate File 45, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 45, 29 aye, 1 excused. Senate File 47, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote close. Senate File 47, 29 aye, 1 excused. Senate File 57, are there any changes? Case aye to no. Meyer aye to no. Scott aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 57, 26 aye, 3 no, 1 excused. Senate File 78, are there any changes? Bebout aye to no. Hicks aye to no. Anderson 28 aye to no. Dockstetter aye to no. Peterson, aye to no. Coe, aye to no. Cooper, aye to no. Pappas, aye to no. Ross, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Anderson, O2, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Emmerich, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 78, 15 aye, 14 no, 1 excused. Senate File 90, are there any changes? Burns, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 90, 27 aye, 2 no, 1 excused. Senate File 92, are there any changes? Case aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 92, 28 aye, 1 no, 1 excused. Senate File 97, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 97, 29 aye, 1 excused. Senate File 103, are there any changes? Geis, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Barnard, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Closing vote. Johnson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 103, 23 aye, 6 no, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 45, 47, 57, 78 by the hair of its chin, 90, what? Oh. I'm going to take 70 off. It did not pass by the, it's the majority elected, so. Sponsor agrees that with 15, it requires 16 to pass. It had majority of those voting, but it's not majority, so 78 is not on there. 90, 92, I'm going to repeat the list. We'll start over. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 45, 47, 57, 90, 92, 97, and 103 have passed the Senate. Senate File 78, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 78 has failed to pass the Senate. Are there any other messages that we have to give? We do have another bill. Senate File 81, third reading.
Senate File 81, Lifesaver Program 2, sponsored by Senator Johnson. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 81, we do have an amendment. If the reading clerk would please read in the amendment.
Senate File 81, third reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 11.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 81. Mr. President, I've considered this bill doesn't really, that this is a new government program and it's exclusively offered by government. I'm bringing an amendment to try to bring some more private sector participation into this. Frankly, Mr. President, I'm kind of disturbed by the thinking that we would have officers in our sheriff and police departments go change batteries every 30 days for folks in this. And I think of all the essential medical services that are provided by the private sector, including, you know, home oxygen, for example. If your oxygen runs out, it's just as desperate a situation, and the private sector seems to work very well. Mr. President, I'm bringing this amendment to try to partially correct that. I want to tell folks I think this still has too much government, even if the amendment passes, but I think this would be an improvement. So what I propose to do is to add a new Section C, and that's lines 4 through 6 on the amendment, which says, in administering this program, the Office of Homeland Security and County shall establish a policy of including private sector participants to the fullest extent possible, Mr. Chairman. Most of the rest of the amendment is renumbering, but there is new language that is going to go some insertions on page 3 of the bill, and that's lines 14 through 20 of the amendment, Mr. Chairman, and that's that paragraph E on page 3 of the bill. The paragraph now reads, a grant recipient under this section shall use the grant monies only to purchase emergency response kits, which shall include equipment necessary to track and triangulate searches, as well as transmitters or other related equipment, and to provide training necessary for search personnel, period. The new language under the amendment would be, a grant recipient under this section shall use the grant monies only to contract or purchase emergency response kits or services, which shall include equipment and services necessary to track and triangulate services, as well as transmitters or other related equipment and services, and to provide training necessary for search personnel if necessary. That is the amendment, and I'd be happy to discuss it further.
Discussion on the amendment, Senator Johnson.
Oh, thank you, Mr. President. I would urge your no vote on third reading amendment number 1 for several reasons. First of all, we have 2 beta sites going, Laramie County and Natrona County. We know it works for them because the Sheriff's Department and the City Police have gotten together on this, and depending on the boundaries of their elected district, they do a very good job. This is also the way it is now is recommended by the Sheriff Police Chiefs Association, so it's no surprise to them about the duties that they would have, and they want it. They want to take care of these people. I'm not really sure, once we knock out Natrona County and Laramie County, if these companies could actually make a profit. And remember, Mr. President, that if they're going to bid for and get this, they're going to have to take a specific amount of that contract to make a profit, to pay their expenses, and that leaves less money to go out into the armbands and into the receivers, the transmitters and the receivers. So the counties that would qualify for this right now for their initial grant would be 21 counties. There are a lot of donations made to the sheriffs and police departments in Laramie County and Natrona County. I'm a member of American Legion, and we have had a program explaining this to the Legion, and the Legion gives grants to this program every year. And I know the VFW does also, along with a lot of other organizations. Why do the police change the batteries? They change the batteries. First of all, this is a public contact that they have. It's a positive public contact. How many public contacts that the police officers and the deputy sheriffs have are not positive contacts? What, 99.9%? So this is a good positive contact with them and the family, the neighbors, Everybody understands it. And also it gives them a chance to check on the equipment, see that it's doing okay, and check the caregiver, because every one of these people has a caregiver. It could be a mother, could be a father, it could be anybody, but they're caregivers, and that's a pretty tough job. So, Mr. President, the program is working in our two largest counties. The sheriffs and police chiefs throughout the rest of the state want it. It's a good program. Let's leave it as is. Please vote no on the amendment and vote aye on Kevin's bill.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, speaking on and against the amendment, and while I'm at it, for the bill, these in my county, in the days before we had this program, I can think right off the top of my head of two potential major tragedies that happened because of the situation that this bill is seeking to remedy and that this amendment is harming. One involved an autistic child, got loose from a family gathering on Casper Mountain, and there was an extraordinarily expensive search coordinated by the sheriff's office. Fortunately, they found the child before he died of exposure, but it was a several-day proposition and real problem. Second one involved a lady from Gillette who, I think she was further along in a senile dementia than her family realized, got confused, turned the wrong way going off the interstate I-25, where you turn off to go up to Midwest and then on to Gillette, got out in some ranch roads, got stuck, totally disoriented, survived several days, and just by pure good luck, got found, I believe it was by some hunters. That one came very close to being just a total tragedy. These things happen. When they happen, there's expensive searches. There's a great deal of anxiety from the families involved. And I think that we're better off with the bill without the amendment and getting the whole thing passed, because it will deal with some potentially very tragic situations, Mr. President.
We're on the amendment. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'm for the amendment. The amendment doesn't restrict anything that's going on in this piece of legislation, in my view. It simply tries to include the private sector, which might honestly come up with some better ideas on how to go about this in a less expensive manner than the public sector is going to through the legislation. It's just trying to be inclusive, not exclusive, and I don't see it in any way, Mr. President, as diminishing the capacity of this good piece of legislation to protect folks that have need for these types of protections. So I'd support the inclusion of the private sector, and there's certainly nothing that's going to even require that they be included in some circumstances, as the tall senator from Natrona County indicated, because if it's not possible, then the fullest extent possible would be no extent. I think it's very reasonable as phrased, and I'd support the amendment, Mr. President. Ask the body to as well.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Along those same lines, I don't see there's any prohibition in this from service clubs and organizations still contributing to the program in Cheyenne or the program in Natrona County. So I think all this does is add the private sector, and I see, from my perspective, it's out there available right now in the private sector. All you have to do is write the check. These are just grants, then I would hope that they would be distributed based on an as-need basis rather than to anybody that walks in the door. But I'm not sure if the bill says that or not, or whether there is any means testing at all for the applications.
Further discussion? The question having been called, back to the sponsor for his second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, when you look... this is not the only technology available for this service. If you look on the Internet, I'll put quotation marks around that, but You can find there are many vendors of different types of programs, including this one. This is a well-known nonprofit. I'm sure they do a great job, but they're not the only game in town. Mr. President, I spoke to a sheriff last night from my county, and he doesn't want this. He basically said that we do this anyway. Our search and rescue will turn out. We would look to private alternatives if possible. I thought that was, and to represent that all sheriffs are for that, mine certainly isn't. Mr. President, this idea that it's a good thing to have positive contact between law enforcement and individuals, it's great to have positive contact. They can go meet with folks anytime they want. They don't have to be there every 30 days to change the battery. There's not a huge social benefit to that that couldn't be done by anyone else. Professional folks do all sorts of complicated medical things, and we don't need police departments to do them, whether it's to bring oxygen bottles and hook up those things up, medications, on and on and on and on. We don't need to automatically think that this has to be a government solution and that a uniformed law enforcement officer has to go change the battery in a device.
It's okay.
The question is on third reading amendment number one. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Chairs in doubt, all those in favor, please stand. Opposed, please stand. That was 17, by the way. Opposed. I think it's adopted, but. That amendment has been adopted. We're now back on the bill. Any discussion on the bill? Senate File 81, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will please call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
No.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter. Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins excused. Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 21 aye, 8 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 81, having received the affirmative vote of the majority members of the elected to the Senate, Senate File 81 has passed the Senate. What did I do? Senator Case.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. President.
You may, and I notice that you can actually have, you have 15 degrees rotation in your head now. You're getting better.
I'm gaining, Mr. President. I should see the doctor. Mr. President, in the big body down the hall at the other side of this building, they have an explicit rule that says that there shall be no props used in debate. I don't believe we actually have that rule, but it is in Mason's. And included in that is interaction between the floor and the gallery, Mr. President. We do have courtesy introductions, which we're all very familiar with.
But during the course of debate, I think it's improper to refer to folks sitting in the gallery and make references and tie that to a debate on the floor. It's the same kind of thing as a prop on the floor, Mr. President, and I ask that we consider that in the future.
Senator Johnson.
When I commit disrespect for the floor of the Senate, I will get up and I will apologize. I will not apologize in this case. The amendment passed Kevin's Law, and I can refer to Kevin's Law anytime on the floor of the Senate that I want. I didn't look at anybody outside of the floor of the Senate, and I want to demand an apology from the senator from Fremont County, but I have been insulted, and I don't like it.
Senator Rothfuss.
Mr. President, I have the privilege of the floor for an entirely unrelated matter.
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, above you in the balcony is a wonderful group of third graders from the University of Wyoming Lab School that's here to visit us today. It's Ashley Coe's class. They've got Isaac Mays as a student teacher for that class, and there's a particularly handsome young man named Zane Rothfuss in that class. And I'd like the body to welcome them here, but I'd like to tell a brief story before we welcome them that they've spent a lot of time over the last week giving thought to how the legislative process works. There's a piece of legislation that we now hold about mythical critters, creatures, and various animals. That class took a straw poll. They are against. They are against the mythical critter. And my understanding is that one student was quoted as saying, kind of seems like a complete waste of time. So, just one opinion, but please welcome the third grade class from the University of Wyoming Lab School.
Does that clear the desk? I've got on my computer, you have that, but why don't you give it to me? You wanted the language? You have it? Oh, you... Are you going to make the motion now?
Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole to discuss bills on general file.
All
good president has already made mention to the unique nature of the day that we have before us in regard to how we're going to manage the process as bills come to us out of committee, and that we will depend upon the management skills of our good majority floor leader to do that, but I think that we can have maybe a different but enjoyable day in regard to committee of the whole. So with that, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I might recognize you before we call ourselves to order. You may. With that,
Committee of the Whole, please come to order. The first bill for our consideration, I would say, is House or Senate file number 93. That is my bill, and I will be asking Senator Landon to come to the desk as the reading clerk reads Senate file 93 in for us.
All right, the bill's over there. Senate File 93, County Road Fund Pavement Management, sponsored by Senator Anderson, 02. It was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation Highway Military Affairs, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senator Anderson, 02. Emmerich, Escobel, Johnson, and Meyer, Senator Meyer, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the Senate file. What is your pleasure, Senator Meyer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report it, do so if they do pass motion on Senate file 93, County Road Fund Pavement Management. And for an explanation of this good little bill, I would turn the floor over to the good senator from Glen Rock, Senator Anderson.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Senate File 93 is brought by me through the request of the County Commissioners Association, my local county commissioners. Senate File 93 has to do with County Road Fund Pavement Management. What the bill does, it's an act that relates to gasoline taxes as being source of the original revenue, and it provides for distribution. This is not an appropriation. It did not require it to be sent to committee number 2. It is a distribution to the highway fund, from the highway fund to the University of Technology Transfer Program as specified. In regard to the purpose of the bill, it enables counties to use monies that they have at their disposal to be applied to the University of Wyoming Technology Transfer Program in order to conduct studies of paved roadways in their counties. As an example, I use my own county as an example. Commerce County is experiencing quite a lot of traffic of heavy equipment. I have seen, I can't even count the number of axles on some of the trucks that bring in some of the equipment, but it's quite frequent. You see 5 axles in back, 3 axles on the truck, and so we're getting some tremendously heavy loads. In order to assess the damage and come up with good road use agreements, we need data. And this data is best provided by the University of Wyoming, which has the ability to conduct these studies. They do it through x-rays and other technologies that can actually look in depth in regard to the condition of the highways. Commerce County, early on in the process, conducted baseline studies on all their roads. These baseline studies actually are quite valuable, not only to the county, because they can tell in regard to the amount of damage by baseline, how quickly the damage is occurring, and trace that in regard to their prioritizing and their request within the county. But it goes beyond that. If we can conduct these studies and across the board, across the state of Wyoming, have a common instrument by which we can compare the roads of one county, condition of roads of one county to the condition of roads in another county, it then becomes a much more objective process of allocation of funds. I think it's a good bill from the standpoint that it's self-funded to the extent that it's just a distribution of that. I will further say, and, you know, I probably wouldn't use this length of explanation because I think the bill is pretty clear. I think it stands on its own. We don't have a lot of bills today, so I'm just going to go on for a bit.
As opposed to?
Hearing no objection. I can remember a time when I first came into the legislature, we had no means of assessing the buildings that had been built earlier in the 1970s, 1980s in order to assess major maintenance. We didn't have enough. And then along comes school construction. We didn't have an instrument in order to quantify and to prioritize school major maintenance. Well, in the meantime, we've devised devices and instruments to help us then identify those buildings at university across the state of Wyoming to prioritize those in an order to apply funds fairly and equitably and objectively for major maintenance. Well, we haven't been able to do that with our highway system, and so this would then give us the data, it would give us the means in order to identify and prioritize and develop some sort of major maintenance plan in order to deal with these roads. And so I think that's one of the possibilities of doing this. I'm not going to take a lot of time to go through the talking points that I was given, but we need to see what the amount here is that the distribution calls for, and I would call your attention in the bill, lines 14 down through 17, page 2, would call for an amount not to exceed $150,000 per year shall first be distributed to the highway fund in the nature of the bill for the University of Wyoming Technology Transfer Programs, County Road Inventory Programs. Last night I was at dinner with, I have two counties in my district, I was at dinner with my southern county. My southern county is more in financial straits than my northern county. They questioned the purpose of 93, and I tried to explain, as I've explained, in regard to the value of this. Being a very frugal county, they were not sure that they wanted to give up this amount of money in order to conduct a study. Later on in the conversation, one of the commissioners asked me, he said, by the way, he says, you know, we get a lot of truck traffic from out of county hauling product that's produced in another county to distribution points, pipeline and rail distribution points within our county, and we're getting a lot of road damage. I said, how much? I don't know, but a lot. I said, 93 would give you the data in order to convince me and others of your plea for equity. Plea for equity in regard to recognition of impact funds in order to account for that. So, Mr. Chairman, I think it's really a very good bill. I think it has future applications. There are others, perhaps, that would like to speak to this bill, but with that, I would rest, defer to any questions or any other comments, perhaps, from the committee or other, perhaps, former county commissioners. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I have privilege of the floor, and then I wish to speak on the bill also.
You may have.
Thank you. With us today is the fifth and sixth grade from Gilcrest Elementary. Please stand. Gilcrest is a community school just to the west of us toward Laramie on Happy Jack Road.
Thank you, Senator. We're back on the bill.
Back on the bill.
Senate File 93.
Mr. Chairman, being a county commissioner in a previous life, I thought when I came on that we had standards for our roads, a baseline. Boy, was I wrong. This bill provides a good baseline that I think all county road commissions can use. Because we've got 2,500 plus miles of paved county roads in the state. And through this association with the University of Wyoming, YDOT, and some baseline standards, I think this is just an excellent bill and with no appropriation. Thank you.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And having been in that position of knowing where every pothole was and every road in the county, over the years as a county ex-county commissioner. I can tell you that this program has actually been in existence for many, many years. The counties have used this program extensively as it is currently set up. And the way that this money comes, just in case you're wondering about the funding, the counties receive 14% of the fuel tax that we collect in the state. That goes to what they call the state county. It used to be the old state county road fund. I think they have another name for it now. And that goes into account in every county for maintenance and repair of roads. So It's been around for quite a while. One of the things is that and the counties use it, I say, quite extensively, and what this does is just adds a little bit more funding so they can get some more data and more testing on their county roads. The thing of it is the counties are not like the state, where the state has a huge program of identifying the need for maintenance on all their roads. The counties, if they do that, they have to go out and try to hire a consulting engineer, which a lot of them cannot really afford. Some of them, the bigger counties, do have engineers on staff they can use. But most of all your rural counties out there, which are the majority of counties we have, simply just not have this expertise. And what they do, the university over the years has set up a program for the counties to go to. They can send their road and bridge people to that, or their commissioners to that program, and learn about these ways for testing and checking, and to establish, as was mentioned, a baseline on the repair and maintenance of the road. And that's what this is doing. These commissioners, what they're doing, they're just foregoing this additional money that they would normally collect out of the fuel tax money, and they're adding it to the universities so that they can do more extensive programs for the counties. And that's what this is all about.
Anything else on Senate File 93?
Question.
Do I hear a question?
Question
having been called. All those in favor of Senator Meyer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that to do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 93, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Senate File 93 is passed Committee of the Whole. Senator Anderson.
Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 43. I'll ask you to please read in the Senate file.
41,
I'm sorry.
Senate File 41, Employee Online Privacy, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Meyer, and Pappas. Excuse, Senators Hicks and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman.
There is an amendment. Senator Case, what's your pleasure?
I would move to report that it do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate File 41. You're correct, there is an amendment. I'd ask that it be read in at this time.
Senate File 41, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 7.
Go ahead, Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, with your leave, I would move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 41. Mr. President, I guess you don't have that best of track record, but I'm hoping it's good today. So I would yield to the good senator from Laramie, Senator Rothfuss.
Senator Rothfuss, I believe we're on the amendment. Go ahead, please. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'm betting around 500 on these Digital Information Privacy Task Force legislation, and hopefully we can get this one through. It's a good piece of legislation that, again, we worked with industry on. This is employee online privacy, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to address the amendment as we work through the bill to show some of the changes, and I think the amendment substantially helps this piece of legislation. Mr. Chairman, the concept here of the legislation is on page 2. The key components are in paragraphs A and B that you see on page 2. And what it comes down to is that an employer shall not request or require any employee or prospective employee to disclose any username, password, or other means for viewing or accessing the information contained on an employee's or prospective employee's personal internet account. So that's the key concept here. It basically says that your employer cannot ask you for the right to access your personal account information, get into your account, ask for your username and password. And there's an or on that list to also preclude the employer from explicitly asking for all of your usernames. Give me all of your usernames for all of the accounts you have so that I can look at your social media and find out what kinds of things you're into. That's the prohibition, and it's the general concept in the B provision here, Mr. Chairman, indicates that there shall not be any adverse action taken or a failure to hire or otherwise penalize an employee or a prospective employee for failing to make that disclosure. And that's the key concept in this legislation. Now, the definition that we're going to end up with as our preliminary definition when we put this bill together was rather broad for personal internet account. You can see that, and I'm going to direct you there now, Mr. Chairman, to page 6, lines 4 through 8, little g, which is a very broad definition. Personal internet account means any collection of electronically stored information used or maintained by an employee or prospective employee primarily for personal communications unrelated to the employer's business purposes. So that was a broad enough definition, Mr. Chairman, that it caused a great deal of concern with industry because it pretty much included anything. There wasn't reference to an internet. There wasn't reference to online accounts. There was a lot of concern there, so there was a desire then to substantially tighten it. And when you go back to page 2, the first approach at tightening this legislation was a long series of exceptions and exemptions and clarifications and prohibitions, which you see in little c, beginning on page 2 and going all the way through page 5. So the list of exceptions, Mr. President, was far more significant than the actual protection of data privacy. We worked with industry and came to the conclusion that rather than going with the exhaustive list of prohibitions and exclusions, maybe it would just make more sense to change the definition and restructure the little a so that we have a better incorporation of the intent of the legislation and clarification. So, Mr. President, looking at the amendment now, we change that structure, and you can see we go to page 2, line 5, as one of the keys, where we delete other means for and insert credentials for an employee's or prospective employee's personal internet account for the purposes of. So now we're specifically calling out the concept of the personal internet account, and we're clarifying that it's specific to that, that the username and password are included. The concern there was just any old username and password might include the password for a device. So I'm issued a laptop by the corporation, it has a password protection on it, and now all of a sudden the corporation can ask me for that username or password, which is obviously not the intent of the legislation, but was a broad enough definition to be concerned with. So we tightened that language down, and then we tightened down on page 6, little g, the definition of personal internet account to be more specific to what we were looking for. And you can see at the bottom then of this amendment, we changed the language such that it reads, for purposes of this section, personal internet account means any collection of password-protected, private, electronically stored information that is remotely accessed through the internet and is used or maintained by an employee or prospective employee, etc., etc. So with that narrower definition, Mr. Chairman, the folks we were working with from industry were happy to eliminate all of C, all of the prohibitions and exclusions, which is a great amendment that makes this a lot tighter piece of legislation. So you can see the rest of the amendment is to make that elimination with one exception, and that's Romanet 3. So when you look at Romanet 3, the remaining exclusion or exception on page 4, lines 7 through 10, is a circumstance where the employer is requesting a personal email address or a connection with a personal internet account for the purpose of enhancing communications with an employee or prospective employee. In other words, Mr. Chairman, that's the simple exception where your employer wants to say, hey, what's your email account so that I can send you some information tonight? Very reasonable exception. So, Mr. Chairman, that's the amendment and the legislation. At this point in time, if there are no questions on the amendment, I'd call for the question on the amendment. If there are questions, I'd be happy to address them.
Questions in regard to the amendment? Seeing those, all those in favor of the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 41, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. We're now back on the bill. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And with that, that's the explanation of the bill also. I think we're at a point now where we have general agreements, maybe not perfect agreement, but general agreement between the interests of the task force and members of the industry that have worked with us both in the interim and during the session so far to get to the heart of what this needs to do while providing proper support for industry to protect their interests as well. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd call for the questions if there aren't any questions.
Any further discussion, questions? Senator Kinski, go ahead, please.
Express up front, I am sympathetic to the purposes of the bill. I have some reservations as a former employer in the public realm and in the private realm. First, as a private employer, I did provide in my handbook that there was no expectation of privacy on the property, not in your locker, not on your computer. And that was necessary to do so because if a computer went down, if we had problems, if we had to restore, I did not want to walk into an inadvertent lawsuit because we stumbled across something that was personal to the employee. And that is the practice of, I believe, of better employers. So there's no expectation of privacy. We didn't ask people for their private internet accounts, but if we've got to go through those computer systems for some reason, I didn't want to stumble into a lawsuit. So I'm wondering, my first question is, how does this handle that? An employer that does need to go through the computers on site and happens to come across personal communications and password-protected accounts, and you know these IT people can crack any of that stuff open, password-protected or not, and it all leaves traces on computers, especially if they're using a company computer. Second, this is a not-so-hypothetical situation, but, you know, your text messaging is SMS, whatever that means. It goes through the Internet, and most people password-protect it. We had a situation at the city where people were texting back and forth to one another for something that was impermissible with respect to where the police on duty were at any given time because one employee was trying to drive home from a situation that they didn't want to encounter anybody with law enforcement. And we felt it entirely appropriate to look at that employee's cell phone. So how does this deal with that? That is password-protected Internet stuff, but it gets implicated in an investigation. Third, I notice on page 6, it references employee accounts that are used primarily for personal communication. If the employee is using a personal account secondarily for business communication, does the employer have or not have a right to know what kind of information is being transmitted back and forth upon those personal accounts that may impact the business? And then fourth, and this gravely concerns me, it's the creation of a private cause of action, yet another reason and ability to sue. I don't know that we're ever going to run out of protected classes in America, but we're just adding another one, people protected by Internet passwords from their employers. And I just despair of what it takes to create jobs in America, and I wonder if we might have some analysis of the impact on employment prospects and employers if they are belabored with yet the prospect of another lawsuit because somehow they inadvertently trespass upon an employee's privacy with or without justification. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'm going to go to the other questions. That's quite a list of questions. I'm going to go back to the sponsor and let him answer those. Given the unlimited debate, we'll go back to the other. So, go ahead, Senator Rothman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity to address those questions. With regard to no expectation of privacy on the property, you have purview, certainly, to set rules in place. You can say no personal devices. You can say no use of personal accounts on the computer. You can say all of the types of policies that you want to set into place, and there's no exclusion of what you as the employer can do along those lines. You simply can't say, what is your account username and password for this personal account of yours? So we recognize, for example, in the committee, and we had a lot of discussions about the fact that you could easily fire somebody for accessing those personal accounts. You just can't follow up by saying, but what's your username and password? That's the bright line. You don't have access to those usernames and passwords and that private information, but you can set whatever policies you want in place under current statute as to whether or not you're allowed to access those personal accounts during time at work. So we had a lot of discussion on that. Current statute would provide for that, and there wouldn't be any difference in how you would handle that situation. With regard, Mr. Chairman, to the concept of SMS over the Internet and impermissible use concepts, the discussion that we had a lot and the analogy that I think is the best analogy is if you think about it in terms of mail, the outside of the envelope versus the inside of the envelope. You can do a lot to know what's on the outside of an envelope if I'm passing back and forth letters and if we're mailing letters from place to place that tells you whether something impermissible is going on, if there's an impropriety. And that's generally considered public information that's accessible from the network, et cetera. It's when you dig into what's in the envelope that you now have to have a warrant, you have to have some sort of authority that provides you explicit ability to get into that envelope. So in the circumstance that the good senator from Sheridan is discussing, I would suspect that there was enough impropriety that there would be illegality and possibility for a warrant if you wanted to look at the specific information. But again, you simply are prohibited in this instance from asking for a username and a password. So the rest of the laws are still going to govern and apply. Don't ask for the username and password, and everything would have been okay in that instance as well. Primarily versus secondarily, we had a lot of discussion on that. It's difficult to come up with the right word there. Exclusively doesn't work, because if you accidentally access your so-and-so account when you're on your device at work, well, now all of a sudden that would open the door to allowing for a request. We went with primarily. Other states have gone with the same standard. It's about the best we could come up with. If there was a more restrictive, without reaching exclusive type concept, I think we'd be happy to go there. So maybe there could be some better wordsmithing with regard to that. Private cause of action was another point. There's two possibilities here, basically. One is that you have no private cause of action, which means that you don't have access to the courts. The other is that there's no preclusion from you accessing the courts if there's dissatisfaction with what the Department of Workforce Services comes up with as a conclusion. Under this circumstance, it did not seem reasonable to deny access to the courts for the worker. It's not as if there's a call out to ask anyone to go to the courts or anything along those lines. It's just an explicit indication that the courts are still accessible to that individual. I hope that satisfies the questions that we've had so far, and I'd be happy to answer any additional.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the testimony that we had in committee as far as the access that you have, and these are the analogies that were used, like if you were in law enforcement and you were trying to hire someone, that if you had the right to ask them to look at their usage, couldn't ask for the username or the password, but you could basically do an over-the-shoulder viewing of what that person was or wasn't doing. So you had an idea whether or not they were a white supremacist, and if you had them out on the on the beat, what you would expect, because there was, you know, and that was a discussion there. So it was set up like that. And as far as the things that were taken out that were enumerated, I asked them the question about, well, don't you have these redresses in law or common law? And the attorney said, yeah, we're not taking anything away. We're just not enumerating what you already have. And so all of the things that were taken out, essentially as an employer, you can already do. It's just that they weren't enumerated again in this section.
Senator Escobel, you rose earlier.
Mr. Chairman, can I just simply have a quick privilege of the floor to recognize a class that's about to leave. My apologies for interjecting during debate.
It's your bill. It's
permissible.
Go
Thank
ahead.
You. Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to recognize the fourth and fifth grade class from the University of Wyoming Laboratory School that's visiting us today. My son Connor is in that class. Hi, Kohai. Welcome to UW Lab School. Again, sorry for interrupting, but let's welcome them to the center. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I'm sorry for interrupting the debate.
No apology necessary, Senator. Senator Escobel, please go ahead. We are now back on discussion of Senate File 41, the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is related to page...
Just a minute. There we go. I got it on.
Page 6, line 7.
I think if you stand up to your mic, it might help, too. You have a pretty soft voice.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is related to page 6, line 7 and 8,
where it talks about... maintained by any employee or prospective employee primarily for personal communications unrelated to the employer's business purposes. And I was just wondering, if an individual, an employee, is using his or her cell phone and communicating with family or friends or co-employees and criticizing something about the employer. Obviously, that has to do with the employer's business purpose, and I was just wondering if that would that type of conversation would remove if that would take it out of this this realm and leave it available for the employer to access that communication.
Thank you, Senator Esquivel. Before the floor manager rises. Are there other questions in regard to Senate File 41? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Looking at this bill, and I'm trying to think about how it really affects the work environment when you're an employer and you have employees, and I understand what the bill says and what we're trying to accomplish here. The question I have is if you're on your company computer, and we all understand that you can access your own personal email on your company computer, and of course, you know, we say you shall not do that, but if you go by and you see that it's not the information that's on the company and it's personal information, so you say, you know, what's going on here? What are you doing on our company computer looking at your personal emails? And so you want to say that, you know, that's not allowed, so you're requesting them not to do it. And then they may say, well, you may have some confrontation there, and if you want to look at it and say really what it is, I think this precludes you from doing that. And I want to be sure that we haven't created that internal conflict, because that's the reality of what happened. You have your company computer, they're on their own internet doing their own thing on your company time, and a lot of employers, including me, will not put up with that. We've done certain things and taken care of it disciplinary, but if we have this kind of a thing and they just click it off or something and say, well, whatever, I want to find out what it is, I think that precludes me from doing that. Could you speak to that, please?
Senator Ross, if you'd like to reply.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It might preclude the majority floor leader from doing exactly that, but there are an awful lot of things that you certainly could do. You can set up circumstances where the computer is not able to go to certain websites. No problem. You can look at the packet data transfer from your network to see if somebody is going to certain sites. No problem. There are many things that you can do, but the idea that you would be able to walk up and you could even ask, well, were you looking at personal material, yes or no? That's, again, going to be fine, and then maybe they could show you. But it's that point, Mr. Chairman, where you're asking for a username and password, that this is specifically saying that's not an acceptable thing. So there's a lot of things you can do up to that point to verify the concerns that the majority floor leader is discussing. You simply can't say, well, I need to get into your account to find out what you've been doing. Give me your username and password. That's the bright line. So, Mr. Chairman, I don't think the majority floor leader is going to have a difficult time doing all of the reasonable things that he's discussed doing, because that line's pretty bright. It really is simply the credentials to access the account that you're restricted as the employer from asking for. So I don't see it as difficult, particularly if you have information technology management in your department, it's no problem whatsoever to manage that type of circumstance. But in a small enough business where you don't have that, you still have the tools to know. And the reality is, again, these are difficult things to monitor regardless, but as an employer, you know that those personal relationships and the trust relationship is a big part of that to begin with. And if you get to the point where you can't trust an individual employee with their own computer equipment, then that's going to be a cause of terminating that relationship. I would be surprised if it went otherwise. With regard to my absent friends question.
Why don't we pause on that for a moment? We'll go... Then
sounds good.
Senator
Thank you,
Dockstetter, I believe, and then we'll come back to Senator Esquivel's question. Senator Dockstetter, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the debate and have listened to it here intently, and I can see what the bill is trying to do. You're trying to give some rights to the employee. But in doing this, we've just hamstrung our employer. We just bound up the employer. We've made it more difficult for the employer to provide jobs. I have great concerns that this is a step against business. And that's speaking in general. I've heard the individual concerns, the individual debates, but this thing is really a step against business. I have great concerns about this.
Thank you. Senator Anderson, 28, would you like to offer your comments, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have quite a bit of experience in this in another life, and we're not just talking about their email accounts. They can have password accounts on all kinds of websites that they get into and look at. I think the big differential is whether it's the company's equipment or his equipment. If it's the company's equipment, I don't agree with this bill at all and would vote against it. If it's his own equipment, yes, he can do what he wants, even over your lines. But when he's using your equipment and it's not for company purpose, then he should not have these protections.
Thank you. Senator Pappas, and then we'll go to the other folks. Go ahead, Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the bill. Just to reiterate a few points, this bill does not seek to do anything other than limit the ability of the employer to ask for a personal username, password, and credential. It has nothing to do with equipment. If it's the equipment of the employer, there's no reason why the employer cannot access that equipment. This does not preclude that. And nor does it preclude an employer asking you to view their account, their personal account, for purposes of an investigation, for purposes of whether they're violating company policy. You can ask that employee to open up their personal account and view it. All it is doing is precluding the employer from getting private passwords and usernames and other credentials to access a private account. Equipment of the employee, equipment of the employer, accounts of the employer, has nothing to do with that. It's only personal, private passwords for whether it's email or any other account on the Internet. That's all it's doing. It's very simple. It's a good protection for our personal information. And it doesn't preclude the employer from investigating all of those things that I said. So I would urge passage of the bill.
Thank you for that explanation, Senator. Other questions? I see Senator Peterson. Go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Equipment's a concern, but what's a bigger concern is the networks of these businesses. If you're using your own equipment, but you're utilizing the network of that business, and that network is compromised, and viruses are received, and then you affect that business's ability to do business with other businesses that have now blocked them. And so it is a concern to businesses. They should have that right to go in and do all the investigating they want to ensure the privacy or the efficiency of their network, not just their own equipment or the employee's equipment, but the network that they're accessing. That's the concern. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Majority Leader, you rose earlier. Would you like to address?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just another question, too. We are employees right now of the state. So we have a state-owned computers. Okay, some of us open our personal emails on our state computers, and I wouldn't recommend that to anybody. But some of us do, and that goes into the cloud, potentially. And, in fact, everything you see on a state computer probably could end up in the public. If, in fact, somebody has some concerns about that area and what was on a state computer relative to other things, are they going to be able to get in and do that because of that situation and ask and request that, or are we some way precluding them from being able to access that information on the state computers that we now operate?
I'm going to go back to Senator Rothfuss. We've accumulated a number of questions. Senator Escobel will address your question at this time. So, Senator Rothfuss, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Chairman, excuse me. I need to look up there. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to begin by addressing my colleague's question about cell phones and if you're specifically using an account to talk about your employer. It again goes back to the primary use of that account, and it's an account basis, not the device basis, is one of the points of this legislation. So you would have to probably use that account an awful lot before you got to the point where you were primarily using it for business-related purposes, and hopefully you wouldn't find yourself in a situation where you were that concerned with your employer. So I think the simple answer there, Mr. Chairman, is no. With regard to some of the other concerns, with hamstringing the employer and trying to limit what the capabilities of that employer are with regard to the network, the concept here, it does limit some of the employer's rights. But those rights are rights that we need to think through whether they should have those rights. And it really is, can I look at your personal email? Yes or no? Can I have the password and username for your personal email account, the one that you write letters to your wife on? Can I have that? And can I require you to give that to me as your employer as a condition of your job? And that can be done right now under Wyoming statute. The whole purpose of this is to address that concern. Can I look at your summer vacation pictures? Can I have the username and password for the account that you store your pictures on, your personal, private, work, unrelated pictures? Can I ask you and demand of you as my employee the username and password so that I can look at your summer vacation pictures and see if I approve of those pictures? Right now, that's fine. That's a request that an employer can make of the employee and say, if you don't give that to me, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to terminate you. And then the employee has to make the decision, all right, is it worth my job to turn over that username and password? That's the intent of this legislation. And really, it's a bright line. It's the personal accounts where we're trying to draw that line. And there are certainly circumstances, Mr. Chairman, where it would be handy for the employer to have that access. And this legislation doesn't really provide any opportunities for that access because it recognizes that that personal account should be sacred and should be the individual's private information. With regard to viruses on the account and utilization of specific devices, one of the conversations that we had was the concept of whether or not we should be looking at devices or accounts in terms of our concept. And the way it is under statute right now, which goes to the good senator from Sheridan's or Johnson County's consideration, you can have all of the preclusions, exclusions, prohibitions, anything else you want in terms of how to use a device if you as the employer own that device. And if they access their individual account one time, you can terminate them for that if that's in your policy. There's nothing in this that deals with that. If there's a virus on your network and you can track it back to the individual, you can certainly make the request about that. And if they were using their private account and there's a policy against it, once again, you can find that out. That's the outside of the envelope type concepts. If you have an information technology department that's sophisticated enough to understand where on the network that virus started from, you probably have the sophistication to understand what type of traffic originated it. And again, you can have policies in place to terminate that. There are a lot of statutes that protect the employer in this situation, but there is nothing that is protecting the employee from that demand for, I want all of your private username and passwords for all of the social media and email addresses that you use. That's what this goes to. And it's trying not to be any broader than that. If we see that it's overly broad, we're happy to tighten it back. But that's the protection that this piece of legislation is looking for that we don't currently have in statute. Hopefully that addresses the considerations and concerns. The majority floor leader's last point, I was a little bit confused by. I'd ask him to re-specify that. The discussion about going out to the cloud and whether or not it allows us to access that information. Again, it's on the account basis, and it's over the Internet and addressed remotely. So cloud accounts certainly count for that. But I was a little confused, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, as to what the relationship is that you were trying to probe there. So if I didn't get to it in my last speech, please ask it again, and I'll try and understand it better.
Go ahead, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question is, when I'm as an employee of the state of Wyoming and I'm using my state computer doing state business and I happen to be doing something personal on that and someone sees that and wants to know what I'm doing on my computer in a personal matter, do they have access? And when I see this, the answer is no, they would not, to be able to access that. So I'm wondering if we have any conflicting rules or laws based on what we're supposed to do with public information because we are an elected official. Maybe that's a better way of explaining it.
Go ahead, Senator Ross. Let's deal with this question. If there are others, we'll... No, let's deal with this. We'll get to others later. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The username and password and credentials to get into that private account are still private. The public records request isn't going to authorize anyone to have your username and password to get into that material. If it's a fully public document, in other words, if it's, for example, an executive branch server with an executive branch account that is a public account, at that point in time, it's not covered in any way, shape, or form by the statute because that's not a private internet account. So from that standpoint, the public records request would certainly be allowed to get that email, and in fact, you wouldn't even have to ask for the password. You would just get the emails internally because you're the network administrator and have authority over those things. So, Mr. Chairman, I don't see any conflict between this legislation and where the bright lines are drawn or even blurry lines in some circumstances with regard to the Public Records Request Act and any of our other provisions as legislators or as public servants.
Thank you. Are there other questions in regard to Senate File 41? Go ahead, Senator Kinski.
Mr. Chairman, I do thank the senator from the Ivory Tower for the clarification. This is an important bill, and they are important issues, and he did ameliorate a number of my concerns. I would like to follow up with the hypothetical, as I understood it, posed by the majority floor leader. And I want to confirm my understanding of how this bill would work, and if I'm wrong, I'd like to know that. So let's take this hypothetical. You walk by, you see an employee doing something on the computer, you're concerned that it may be impermissible. And you stop, you quiz them, you ask them, let's log into your Yahoo account. Or whatever it is. They give you the password and the username because you're trying to determine whether they're doing anything improper. Now, maybe you determine they were sending out sensitive pricing information or sharing drilling information or bid information, or maybe there was nothing wrong. Seems like no harm, no foul. They go home that night and they wake up mad. If I understand this, all they have to do is send a letter off to the Department of Workforce Services alleging that inquiry by the employer, purge page 3, was not reasonably necessary. It was a factual determination. Or that the investigation was not reasonable. And if the employer loses on either one of those accounts, if the Department of Workforce Services or a court, if they pursue a private cause of action, determines after the fact that the employer's inquiry and obtaining of that information was not reasonable, either necessary or that the investigation was not necessary, the employer is at risk for fines, penalties, and damages. That's the way I'm reading it. If I'm reading it wrong, I'd stand to be corrected. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Rossis, we're going to deal with these questions one at a time. They're becoming quite detailed, so we'll go back to you in regard to the answer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'm struggling with the senator from Johnson County's interpretation there. When we look on page 5, little e, that simply discusses that the department may assess a civil penalty in an amount not to exceed $1,000 for the first violation and $2,500 for each subsequent violation. Again, at that point, the Department of Workforce Services is going to do some type of administrative investigation, which is standard practice for any other workplace grievance. They're going to make some type of finding, and they're going to make an assessment based on it. There weren't any really low barriers or bars or anything. There was no instruction to the department in little e on page 5 as to any particularly weak standard they have to use. So I'm unclear as to how it's characterized as that low bar. I would have an expectation that the bar that the department would use would be similar to any other workplace grievance, and that they would do an investigation, figure out what the facts were to the best of their understanding, and potentially, but not certainly, assess a civil penalty in accordance.
Thank you, Senator Rothfuss. Are there any other questions in regard to Senate File 41? Any other comments? Seeing none, you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 41, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
Senate File 41 has passed the Committee of the Whole, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, up in the, I think on the west side here, we have, or the south side, I think we have the clerks of the district court are all up there. If they'd all stand and everybody would recognize them. Yeah.
Well, Mr. President, it's always nice to be in the chair when there's someone from home to see you. So our Carvers County clerk is up here. Hi, Pam. I'll call you Pam. Well, anyway, we're back. Oh, Mr. Majority, Floor Leader Bebout.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
You've all heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion has carried. Mr. President.
Let's see, did we do 41?
As always.
41 is done. Okay, do we have some messages? Messages not yet. Just from the House. Well, we do have standing committee reports and messages.
Messages from the House.
January the 29th, 2015, from the House of Representatives. Message, third reading, passed, amended. Mr. President, the bills listed below pass the House on third reading in an amended form by the votes indicated. House Bill 57, Health Insurance Medical Necessity Reviews. Ayes 59, excused 1. House Bill Number 61, Wyoming Chartered Family Trust Company Act. Ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1. House Bill Number 94, Parental Rights. Ayes 59, noes 1. House Bill Number 106, Non-Consensual Towing Services. Ayes 44, noes 16. House Bill Number 109, Felony Unlawful Possession of Controlled Substances. Ayes 43, no 17. House Bill 62, Property Tax Exemption for Faith-Based Camps. Ayes 59, noes 1. January the 29th, 2015, from the House of Representatives. Message, third reading passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below pass the House on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 96, Catering Permit Limitation. Ayes 59, noes 1. House Bill 150, Arrest for Violations of Probation. Ayes 47, noes 13. House Bill Number 81, Wyoming Lottery Distribution. Ayes 35, noes 25. House Bill Number 141, Malt Beverage Tax Repeal. Ayes 49, noes 11. And House Bill Number 168, Water and Sewer Districts Assessments. Ayes 36, noes 24. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Reports.
Oh, I have a couple more. Okay. January the 29th, 2015, from the House of Representatives. Message number 173, third reading failed. Mr. President, the bills listed below failed to pass the House third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 99, Statutes Gender Neutral Terms, ayes 24, noes 36. House Bill number 134, Seized Property, ayes 10, noes 50. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Member of the Senate, I'd like to introduce the sheriff from Fremont County, Skip Hornicker. He's up here in the North Balcony. He's going into his third term. Welcome, Skip. Fourth term.
We have reports from standing committees.
January the 20th, 2015. Mr. President, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 129, Medicaid Share Plans, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senator Hastert. No, Senators Burns, Perkins. Wait a minute here. Reports back with a do pass failed in accordance with Senate Rule 5-4. Ayes, Senator Hastert. No, Senators Burns, Perkins, Roth, and Wasserberger, Senator Ross, Chairman.
And that was a vote on a re-referred bill, so that explains that vote. The next item is bills on first reading. Senate File 141, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 141, State Budget Development, sponsored by Senator Nicholas.
Senate File 141 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Having been referred, okay, I should say that Senate File 141, having been read first time, it is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Senate File 146.
First Senate reading. File 146, Spending Policy Amendment, sponsored by Senator Nicholas.
Senate File 146 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Senate File 144, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 144, sponsored by Senator Nicholas, Microbreweries Minimum Barrel Requirement.
No minimum required. Senate File 144 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. Senate File 139, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 139, Open and Revised Election, sponsored by Senator Rothfuss.
Senate File 139 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 142, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 142, Building Code Regulation, sponsored by Senator Driscoll.
Senate File 142 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 138, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 138, Small Business Innovation Research Matching Fund, sponsored by Senator Rothfuss.
Senate File 138 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senate File 145, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 145, Hospital Uncompensated Care, sponsored by Senator Peterson.
Senate File 145 is referred to Committee Number 10. Yeah. labor. Oh, excuse me.
Senate File 143.
First read of the bill.
Senate File 143, Capitol Building Oversight Group, sponsored by Senator Nicholas.
Senate File 143 is referred to Committee Number 12, Rules. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk. Oh.
Mr. President, I move we stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Are there any messages, announcements? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 12 rules will meet today, Thursday, January 29th, upon adjournment in room S11 to consider the following Senate files: Senate Joint Resolution 4, Constitutional Convention, Senate File 116, Legislative Compensation, and Senate File 89, Supplemental Budget Bill Voting Requirement. And Mr. President, just as soon as we get out of here, if I could have all the committee chairmen very quickly come into my office. Thank you.
Uh-oh.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 3, Revenue, along with the House Revenue Committee, will meet in room 302, where our Director of Revenue will give us a overview of the mineral severance tax and the ad valorem tax. This is a presentation the interim committee received over in Lander. It'll be a condensed version, but anybody that would like to attend that is more than welcome. It was a great presentation, and I think it will be enlightening.
Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 5, Agriculture, State, and Public Lands, will meet today upon adjournment to consider Senate File 126. Water quality will be up in S15.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet Friday morning at 8 o'clock in room S1, January 30th, to consider the following bills: Senate File 132, the Wyoming Fair Housing Act; Senate File 136, Expedited EMT Licensing; and Senate Joint Resolution 7, Resolution Declaring Chicano History Week. And I just draw your attention, this is a revised agenda.
Senator Von Pleteren.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 9, Minerals and Economic Development, has gone from quality work, maybe, to quantity work. We're going to do Senate File 123, Collective Bargaining for Firefighters; Senate File 125, Incinerating Permitting Location; Senate File 130, Lottery Commission Reporting Requirements. Tomorrow, 15 to 20 minutes after noon recess, in room S18.
Senator Kayes.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, there will be an informal meeting of the Corporations Committee, and anybody that would like to attend, we're going to meet with folks interested in the telecommunications rewrite that's currently in the Corporations Committee. We'll meet tomorrow morning at 8:30 in S19. Anyone's welcome to come, and any member of the public. We're also going to meet again on that probably Monday over the noon hour, and perhaps upon final adjournment as well. We'll take the bill up again on Tuesday officially.
Any further announcements? There being none, you've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion's adopted. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2 p.m.